we're going to actually spend a little time at the end of the service to pray for them. President Trump said, let's make this a day of prayer. And Pastor Tan said, hey, I'm gonna take some time in the congregation next service to do this. And I think it's a good idea. You know, whether the president says it or not, let's pray for Houston. And also remember this. This is being forgotten. Do you guys realize over in Asia, the monsoon season, you guys heard about this? I mean, it's water all over. I mean, people have really lost their lives in places like Nepal and India, and we need to pray for them too. And the gospel is the only hope, right? Because storms, you know, are no respecter of race, age, money. When a storm comes, everyone's affected, and people need Christ. And so we're going to pray, and also we're going to take a special collection today for the North American Mission Board, as Ed said. And so be generous and give. You know, our denomination, this is something to be proud of. Our denomination really does an excellent, top-notch, A-rated job for disaster relief. Our churches do a terrific job. In fact, I think Daniel, I don't know if Daniel's in here, Daniel Moy has done some training with disaster relief for Southern Baptist. And also, I think Jen Hui, is she here? I don't know. Jen and James, they went up and did some work up in North Carolina last year as part of Southern Baptist. And I mean, it's something to be proud of. Our denomination does incredible work just getting their hands dirty, right? And putting the hard helmets on and then also bringing the gospel to people. And so we need to support our denomination among others who are doing great work. So praise the Lord for that, and we're going to keep praying. But hey, right now, hey, go say hi to somebody that's sitting next to you. Maybe you haven't seen in a while. Maybe some new faces you don't know. Just say hi and show them the love of Jesus. Good job, man. I like the lights up there. Little fireflies, right? Fireflies. All right, I feel the love. Okay. All right, wonderful. All right, so, okay, here we are. All right, Ephesians, we're almost done, guys. Next week's the last sermon, and there was great rejoicing, right? Ephesians chapter 6, next week, the last one. Here we are, almost there, and just a review, right? Last week, we talked about the spiritual armor, right? So, Paul's gone through this whole book showing us how wonderful that God has brought us into a new family, an eternal family, with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're going to see, those of us who believe in Christ, we're going to see each other forever, and so you better get used to living with each other now, right? That person gets on my last nerve, right? No, start loving them like Jesus, right? Because we're going to be with each other forever, and we're going to be perfect, and it's going to be wonderful, and we got to start showing that heavenly love now to each other, and that's great, and Paul's shown, you know, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile now. So many implications for today with some of the racial issues that we can constantly see all over the place. It's awful. But Paul says, hey, Jesus has broken down the wall between tribes and brought us together in one family and one in Christ. And then he's told us, you know, because we're in this family, how are we supposed to relate to our parents? How are we supposed to relate to our employees, employers? And how are we supposed to relate to our marriages? And then he says, just a final warning here, he says, look, this Christian life is not a neutral life, right? It's not a neutral. We don't live neutral. Our car's in neutral. No, we don't do that. In fact, there's an enemy who wants to take us down or make us ineffective. If he can't stop us from believing in Jesus, he can't stop us from coming into the kingdom, those of us believe, the next best thing he's going to do is make us ineffective or impotent, right? That we have no ability to carry out, no strength to carry out God's work through us, right? And that is to go into all the world and make disciples, make followers of Christ. Satan does not want people to come into God's kingdom. He hates that. He doesn't want people believing in Jesus, who forgave them of their sins because of what he did on the cross. He does not want that. And so Satan has a bullseye on our backs as believers, right? And so you guys have to be aware of that, right? We can't walk through our day lollygagging, la, 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 I believe in Jesus, but yeah, I never think of him, I hardly ever pray, but I'm good, I know Jesus. No, Paul says if you believe Jesus, you got to realize you're in a spiritual war, spiritual warfare. Satan and his minions, right? And these are not nice minions, not the little yellow guys. These are demonic beings, right, who are actively seeking our downfall and want us to stumble, want us to sin, want us to stop praying. We're going to talk about it today because God works through prayer. It's amazing. And he doesn't want us to share the gospel with our coworkers. He doesn't want us to share his gospel with our friends. He'd rather us be, oh, I just want to worry about my life, just keep my focus on myself. He loves for us to do that. and not look outward. And Paul says, you got to be aware of that. There's a spiritual force against you. But God says there are spiritual weapons that we put on, a spiritual armor that we put on, and we put on every day. And the first thing is, God's already given us this armor, right? The spiritual armor He's given to us based on our salvation. At the same time, we've got to walk. We got to put on this armor every day, right? So let's see if we remember last week. What are the spiritual parts of the armor? The belt of truth. Who said that? And that was loud. And you're preaching. Get up here. All right. Belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Let's see. Helmet of salvation. Shield of faith. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shoes, readiness for what? The gospel of peace, right? The shoes that are ready for the share of the gospel, that love Jesus, that run to. And you know, there's a spiritual war, and we don't fight with our literal fists, like I said last week. We don't go around punch people, and we go around praying for people. We go around sharing the gospel, being hospitable, loving others, serving others, like in Houston, right, where there's help, at the same time showing who Jesus is and why we're doing this. That's how we fight, right? And so this is a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. Man, God is with us, and He's pleased to walk with us and fight for us. And the great thing is, right, there's an enemy. Those of us, we all used to be in this state. We used to be unbelievers. We used to be on Satan's side. We used to be on Satan's team. But when we came to know Jesus, our Savior, it's like, man, we jumped back to the right side. We went to the light side, not the dark side, right? We believed in Jesus, and Satan lost someone that was his, and we came over to God's team, and that's where us as Christians are. And we got to realize that we're in a spiritual war here. And so just a quick review from last week, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, right, the schemes of the devil. And we have to be ready for that. Now today, here's the deal though. And this might be the most important. They all go together, but this weapon surrounds it all. It surrounds everything. And as Ed read, this weapon is prayer. Is prayer. We've got to pray all the time and all the ways we can. This weapon, right, is prayer. Prayer. Okay? And this is what we're going to focus on today. So verse 18, all right? So he gets through this armor, and then he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Now, let's read this verse together. You don't have to do it out loud, but just with me. Look at how many times he says all, A-L-L, right? Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. That's three times. Making supplication for the saints. And then, blah, 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 next verse. For all the saints. So that was it, right? I missed it. Four. So all the saints, right? All times, all prayer and supplication, all perseverance for all the saints. This is a constant attitude of prayer. We as the church, we got to recognize we're in a spiritual battle. It's a good battle, right? Because Jesus has already won. He's conquered death. He's conquered Satan. He smashed Satan's head on the cross, right? He's conquered death, come back to life. We're guaranteed of that because of what Christ has done. But now as we go through this life, we got to pray and seek God's help, praying at all times in the Spirit, right? In the Spirit, all the time. When you pray, now here's the deal, guys. When we pray, one thing is we have to remember as Christians, we cannot hold on to unrepentant sin, right? If we're walking with Christ and we're saying, I love Christ, I'm going to pray, but I've got something that I'm holding on to, bitterness that I'm refusing. I mean, this is refusing to repent of. It's not like, man, I've repented of it, but sometimes it still bothers us. That's different. We always fight with stuff, right? But it's a refusal, a willful refusal to repent of any kind of sin, whether it be lust or bitterness or anger. God will not work in your prayers. Your prayers will be hindered. Peter alludes to that in one of the Peters. I can't remember which one, first or second Peter, when he says, you know, you got to love your wife. You got to pray with her. Don't be angry with your wife, because if you are, your prayers will be hindered. He was just giving an example that if you hold on to sin, your prayers will be hindered. So before we even go into this very much, If you're holding on to sin and you refuse to repent of sin, God will not work through that prayer. God's like, why? You're not acting like a child of me. You know, why should I give an answer to your prayer? You're willfully sinning. Now, we all face sin. We all sin every day. But what do we do with that sin? Do we give it to God and say, Lord, I want to change? So remember that. Repent of your sin. So we got to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, right? At all times. And guys, this is the thing. We've got to build a life of prayer. And I think I heard someone say this. Prayer is the sort of the engine of the church, or maybe like the gas, right? What moves us along in everything we do is a total dependence on God. And what I want you guys to realize as we talk about prayer today, as we pray today, guys, prayer is a dependence on God. And we have to long to depend on God. And he wants us to. I mean, all over Scripture, God says, pray to me. I am a loving Father. I will give you good things. The prayer according to my will, I will always answer. And we're going to look at that verse. According to his will, he will always answer. We should long to pray and to be in communion with God, not for the benefits that he gives us, not for necessarily all the, and he can give us good things. He can give us health. He can give us material possessions. But we should pray first and foremost because we want God himself. I want God. I want to know him. He alone is my life. If everything is stripped away from me, if I have God and I love him, that is enough. Christ is enough for me. Christ alone, right? He is my Savior. He's my Lord. So when we pray, we got to cultivate, God, you are my life. Every good and perfect gift is from you, and I completely depend on you. If you give me a new car, that won't satisfy me, right? If you give me a new house, that won't satisfy me. If you give me all this, it will not satisfy. We got to stop putting our happiness in material possessions because they will always let us down, always. We got to put our trust in God, and we keep that communication. And Lord, help me love you and know you and how wonderful and splendid you are that you saved me and are making me like Christ. Do you want God for himself? Because he is life. He is life alone. And so when we pray, we got to seek him for who he is. And we need to love him. And so we need to pray at all times. Now, of course, there are all kinds of circumstances and material things that we pray for, but it's all for God's glory. And so we pray for somebody to be healed. We say, you know, if let's say Matt's sitting over there, right? Matt, you just lost your arm. Your arm fell off, you know? We're going to pray for you, all right? You're an amputee, right? And so we're going to pray for Matt. God strengthen Matt, you know, please help him. We're going to pray for that. But ultimately, we want to pray for God's glory. We want Matt to know Christ. We want Matt to know the Lord, whether he has an arm or not. We're going to pray for Matt. In fact, God may want him not to have an arm because that's the best thing for him, for God to use Matt effectively. So go ahead and chop off his arm. You have my permission, all right? All right, so God, and we have to tell ourselves that, right? Paul himself, while he's writing this, is in chains. He's in chains as a prisoner of the gospel. But man, God is using him, and he's praying. So pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, in the Spirit? That means those of us who know Christ, that's the only way we can pray, if we have the Spirit of God in us, who is helping us to pray. We're saved. God is in us. In fact, he helps us, as Ed prayed. He energizes our prayer. In fact, he intercedes for us. Sometimes we don't know what to say. In Romans, the book of Romans says he groans for us. He makes words for us. God, I don't even know how to pray. I just don't know, have words to say, God. And this Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit is God himself that is living inside of us. And praise be to God that he does work on our behalf. And so we pray at all times in the Spirit. Another way to say that is we pray all things according to God's will. We want to align ourselves when we pray. We pray for someone who has cancer. We pray for the people of Houston. God, we pray that, man, you could save people in Houston, both physically, spiritually. We pray that there will be no more deaths. We pray that, but we always pray according to your will. We don't know what will happen, but God, it's everything you do is good. And we want to pray according to your will. And God promises to answer that prayer according to his will. And it may not always be the answer we want, but he will answer. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is another way of saying just request. This is the form of prayer that's request. A lot of times prayer can be worship, it can be thanksgiving, it can be repentance. This word here, supplication, means the request. I pray, Lord, that you will heal my wife, right? I pray that I'll be able to get into college next year. That's a supplication. I pray for my brother and sister in this church. I'm going to pray for people. It's a request. And when we pray at all times, right? I mean, this is, there's two ways to look at this. We need two things. Number one, we do need to carve out every day. We need to carve out some extra time where we can pray. Where we, you know, 15 minutes, we need to spend some silent time with God, whether it be in our rooms, at home, or somewhere in a park, that we can just pray to God, go deep, pray over things. You have a list of things. Lift them up to God and say, God, please move in this situation. That's part of it, right? Secondly, though, we need to have an attitude of prayer all throughout the day. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer. We need to be an attitude of prayer. So if you're working hard at your job, and man, something just strikes you, man, just somebody I think said they call them arrow prayers. We shoot up little arrows of prayer. They're not real long prayers. You might get fired from your job if they were too long, right? You would be, but just for a few seconds, like, Lord, I need help in this area. Boing, you know, just shoot it up. And God loves that, right? And that's wonderful, and God works. So sometimes we shoot up arrow prayers. Sometimes during the day, though, we need longer extended times of prayer. So we always need to pray. If you're, does anybody ever pray in the car when you're driving? South Florida makes it tough. Actually, it sanctifies you. Yeah, progressive sanctification. Like, oh, Lord, bless this guy next to me. Pray. You can pray in the car. Don't close your eyes, though. God can work miracles, but, pray in the car. You know, pray when you're, in between. Maybe it's lunch break, you know. Just spend a little time in prayer. If you can, pray all the time before you go to sleep at night. Send up prayers. Just always be ready to pray. Have an attitude of prayer. Someone described it like this. That attitude of prayer, that always ready to pray, it's kind of like when you have a cough, you have a cold, and you have a cough that always feels like it's about ready to come up because you got some mucus in there, some kind of liquid. not a nice analogy, but it's always ready. It's like prayer. It's all, you may not be praying at the moment, but you always have something there. I'm ready to pray during this day, God. And then sometimes it just erupts into prayer. Like, oh, it's time to pray. I got to pray. And so you always want to carry on prayer. Again, because remember what the context here, we're in a spiritual warfare. We got to keep our lifeline open to our general in this battle, right? We got to keep praying. Think about this military analogy, right? We're going out as the church. We want to share the gospel. And we need prayer for that because it can be a scary thing. And we're encouraging one another. We need to pray for one another. But remember, Jesus, God, is fighting for us. He actually literally is fighting for us. He wants us to pray. He moves in prayer. He loves it when we depend on him. And so he's like our general, and he's involved in this battle. And we want to constantly, he's our strength. He's our help. And we say, Lord, you're our general. I'm going to pray to you. You know, I'm on the front lines here. I'm on the front lines of warfare. Man, these people at work are really like harassing me about my faith. Lord, help me know what to say. Help me stand strong in Christ. And you keep that general, that military general in the warfare analogy. You're keeping that walkie-talkie there, right? You have the Lincoln, right? You have this little like headset, right? That you're talking to God. Like, where do I go next? Where do I go next on this battlefield? What do you want me to do, God? And so he's our general. He's our general as we move out, right? And so we pray, we ask him, and God, we want to be used by you. Again, look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. Says this, right? This is the confidence that, and it's John writing to the church, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything, he didn't say some things, he says, if we ask anything, but here's the caveat, right? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him, all right? We know what God loves. God loves for us to make disciples. God loves us to live holy lives. We pray that we do these things. That honors God. That is praying in his will. Then there's also God's hidden will. We call it his hidden will. We don't know everything God is planning. And so, God, I can't see the future, Lord, but you know the future, so I'm going to pray that your will be done. And it says right there, Jesus will answer all his prayers. And it may be completely opposite of what we think or how it should be answered, but it's always for the best. It's better than we could even imagine. Even when it seems tough at the time, God promises. What a great, isn't it amazing that the God of this universe actually allows us to come before him the God who holds the universe in the palm of his hand, actually allows us to come to his throne and say, Lord, listen to me. And he loves to listen to me. And he loves to put his arms around me. And he wants us to pray to him. And he answers prayer. Isn't that amazing? And he moves. This is the Almighty God. This is the God who created the universe, who sustains the universe right now, this entire almost infinite universe. He is actually listening to my prayer, your prayer. It's amazing. He's listening to all the prayers at the same time. He can hear us all at the same time, and he focuses exactly on your prayer, and he will work in your prayer. That's comforting. Man, and why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray more? If God is this amazing, powerful, almighty God who promises all over Scripture that he will answer our prayers according to his will, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray more individually, and why don't we pray more corporately? And sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, what happens a lot sometimes in some of our classes and stuff, let's get done prayer so we can get to the good stuff, the Bible study, right? And sometimes I feel like that happens. We got to be serious about prayer as well, though. Bible study and all that, even your personal Bible study at home, basically means nothing if there's no prayer back to God, no meditation on it. It's just reading a book. You've got to keep, God, you're in the loop here, Lord. This is you. It's not just a book, it's a person. We got to keep God, and he's an almighty God, and he'll work. And praise God, right? Always pray in the Spirit. We got to get serious about prayer. He loves us. And think about this. Do we ever realize that millions of people throughout history, millions, maybe billions, have come to Jesus as their Savior because people have been praying for them? Now, again, prayer is not manipulating God. God can't be manipulated. God does. It's a bit of a mystery, but God promises. It's a wonderful mystery that he works in prayer. If we pray for someone's salvation, God works. And you know, it's amazing that we will probably meet people in the new heavens and earth who will come up to us and say, thank you for praying for me. I'm like, who are you? And they said, your prayers got me saved. And we'll know that in heaven. We may not even know. We may not even realize that our prayers were the means God used to get people into his kingdom. Now, God, of course, has the whole history already written. But there's also this mystery, this great mystery of how God uses prayer as his means to get people into the kingdom. So we got to pray. We got to pray for China. We got to pray for other countries. We got to pray for people right here. And God will work. God will work. Praise God. We got to pray at all times in the Spirit. We can't do this by our own willpower. And so here's the thing, guys. We have to pray for a desire to pray. You know, when you're feeling cold and kind of lazy and kind of sluggish, you know, we got to be like, Lord, man, my prayer life, let's be honest, my prayer life has stunk recently. And just tell God, man, I have not spent real serious time in prayer with you, God, this whole week, these couple weeks. I've shot up maybe some little arrow prayers, but I have not spent serious time pleading before your throne. And God loves that. And we need to say, Lord, I want to get deep with you in prayer. Prayer. And God works. We cannot live this life on our own. We have no power, willpower on our own. But it's God who works in us. And we plead to God to work, to energize us. All right. Moving on here in the verse. Going back to Ephesians chapter 6. Back to verse middle of 18. To that end, church, keep alert. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Keep alert. Be watchful. Watch what's going on in your life and around the world. Keep watching. And here's the deal, guys. We have to be, as we pray, we have to recognize our circumstances, recognize what God's doing in our life. We got to keep awake. Listen, Jesus is coming back again, amen? Christ is coming back. The Savior of the world is coming back, and we got to keep alert. We got to be focused on the task at hand. We got to realize if we let down our guards, Satan has an end. Our own sin has an end. We have to keep alert. We got to, you know, that's what everybody, a lot of pastors say this. I've got the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, right? Or today would be, the news app on your phone, right? We have to realize what is going on in the world, and we got to read our Scripture. Read the Bible. And say, how does my life apply here? How does my life, God, want me to work? And then pray. Keep alert. Be watchful in prayer because the days are short. Christ is coming back and people are going to hell. And I need to live my life for God's glory so that others can see him. I want others to know Christ. We have to be ready. We got to be alert. Be watchful in prayer. Last week I mentioned the verse. Don't have it on me, but it's be sober, be alert. For Satan, your adversary, is like a prowling, roaring lion walking around seeking somebody to devour. And he'll devour non-Christians for sure, and he will come after the church as well. He wants to stop us. You know, he wants to make us tired or lazy. He wants us to gossip about somebody. He wants us to fulfill our lust. He wants our church to be split and have divisions. He wants that, and we got to be watchful for that. And say, this doesn't measure up to God's word, what's going on here, and we got to pray. God, help us. Help us live in accordance with your word. We got to have an alertness, a readiness for Christ as he is coming back. He's coming back again. I like what he says here then, in the end of verse 18 here. Make supplication for all the saints. Make supplication for all the saints. And that's what we're going to do a little bit here. We pray for Houston. We're going to pray for the churches in Houston. We got to pray for those who are undergoing the monsoons there in Asia. We got to pray for our church. We got to pray for the saints. Do we regularly pray for the saints? We need to persevere in this. That's what he also says. Keep alert with all perseverance. We got to persevere in praying for each other and praying for God to work. We got to keep persevering, making supplication. We got to press on. Don't give up. Because God is always working. We want him to work. Persistence, perseverance, running the race. I want to finish the race. I want to finish the prize. Get the prize. I want to see Christ. I want to keep running this race. Right? And so we got to persevere in our prayer. And it's hard sometimes. Lord, I'm tired. Or like, oh, I don't feel like praying right now. Like, Lord, help me pray. I haven't prayed. I need to pray for the situation. Give me the strength. I want to persevere in my prayer. I want to be persistent in my prayer. There's a wonderful parable that Jesus tells about an old widow. He keeps going to a judge and say she wants justice. There's something going on in her life, an unjust cause, and she wants justice. And she keeps bothering this judge. And the judge is, you know, the judge is like, all right, finally, after she keeps bothering him, he's like, I'm going to give this widow justice because she keeps bothering me. And Jesus is saying, how much more, not a judge who doesn't really care, how much more a loving God. He loves us to continually come to him, that continual dependence. And it's good for us to develop that love for him. He will work justice. And he answers prayer. And that continual prayer, that reliance on him shows our love and dependence for him. And he works in prayer. And he loves that. God loves for us. Listen, sometimes I'm like, you know, does God ever tire of me like praying? Like I prayed this yesterday. Does God ever get tired of me praying this prayer? Not necessarily, no. He loves for us to continually pray for that unsaved family member every day. He loves that. Now, of course, let's be honest. You can turn your prayer into an obsession. Has anybody ever prayed and you're like, this prayer is turning into a bunch of worry? Anybody ever done that? I have, and I'm like, okay, I got to shut up now. Like, Lord, all right, I know this. Sometimes we do. We have to give that burden to God and leave it to him, because if you obsess about it, you're not doing other things you need to do in your life to go share the gospel and whatever, and so you need to do that. But you need to. It's okay to come back to that, though. Constantly come back. Persevere in prayer. Don't give up, and God works through that. He promises that, right? So persevere in prayer. Even when you don't see immediate results, persevere. Persevere in that prayer. God loves it. And pray for the saints, your family in Christ, the saints of God. Here's a question I want to ask you. How often do you pray for the people sitting in this room? When was the last time you prayed for your brothers and sisters in this room? High schoolers for high schoolers, you know? For your people in your LSEF or YAF. When was the last time that you actually prayed for their They're good. They're spiritual maturity. I want these people. I want this person. I want Shelly over there, right? I want to pick on you, Shelly. You're just in the right seat. I don't know. I want Shelly to know Christ. I want her to love him and to grow and to, and God use her for your glory and strengthen her. And I pray that our church would come around her. Do you pray that for other people in this church? These are our brothers and sisters. This is the local manifestation of God's kingdom right here. Do we pray for each other? Evan, do you ever pray for your friends in the church? You don't have to answer that. I'm just saying that's for all of us, right? And for me too as a pastor, I'm like, man, how often do I get down on my knees and say, Lord, help this person grow? You know, isn't it comforting to know that people are praying for you? And when people tell me, hey, pastor, I'm praying for you, that's one of the best things, you know? Forget about compliments on my sermon or criticism, whatever. That'll all happen, right? But when people say, you know what, I'm praying for you. I'm just praying for you. I'm praying for you in this situation. I'm like, praise God. It's not just me, you know? There's somebody praying out there, you know, maybe praying for my preaching and saying, yeah, I want it to be effective. I want God to work. And we need to pray that for each other. Isn't it comforting to know, hey, Joseph, hey, man, do you know I've been praying for you? I mean, what person is going to be like, don't ever do that again, you know? Oh, you're probably not a Christian. Like, you know, I don't need your prayers. I don't care that you care about me. Of course not. Do we make supplication for all the saints? And this is part of the spiritual battle. We're in a battle. And so we got to pray for our fellow foot soldiers, right? We got to pray for each other. That's the spiritual weapon here that surrounds all the other weapons. It's like, you know, I don't know, it's like a bubble force field, right? I don't know how to call it, right? What does prayer look like on the battlefield? You're going forward with the church, and you're ready and saying, it's a spiritual battle. The forces of Satan are coming against the church. We gotta pray. I mean, if you just read the news, you read what some people say against Christians and what we believe. It's crazy, right? And just our own sinful life. We gotta pray for each other, and God works in that. Literally, God will hear those prayers. God loves people growing and maturing in Christ. That's a good thing to pray. That's according to his will. It's not like, hey, God, I'm not sure if I pray for this person and I pray for their spiritual maturity, I don't know if that's according to your will. That's always according to God's will. What is revealed in the Bible about the saints, we always need to be praying that. Yes, there's God's hidden will where he'll do different things and orchestrate history that we can't see, but that's always for our good. But we pray what Scripture has told us to pray. I pray for your spiritual maturity. I pray for your love for Jesus. I pray that you'll be effective for him. We pray for Houston. We pray for overseas. We pray that souls will come to Christ. Lastly, verse 19 and 20. And then look at what Paul's situation. Let him be a model for us, right? Paul says, pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Wow. Wow. You know, here's Paul. This guy's in prison, right? He's in prison. I mean, he's literally getting some warfare against him. He's in prison. He's in chains. But he's like, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I mean, while I'm in chains, I want to preach God's... Here's how most of us pray. You know, I heard one speaker. His name is Paul Tripp. Paul Tripp, right? He said this. A lot of our prayers are like this. Something bad happens, like if we're in prison, or you know, we lose something, or our car goes broke. And this is what we usually pray. God, rescue me from this situation right now. That's our first impulse, right? And so he calls them vacuum prayers. God, suck me out of this bad situation, you know, and then throw me down somewhere else and just solve everything, right? Right? That's pretty normal, right? I'm like, oh, I just got an argument with my wife. I don't like this. She does, you know, there may be no dinner tonight. Not really. I'll still microwave something. No, but let's say, you know, like, man, I don't like this conflict. This is so annoying. Like, oh, I guess I have to be humble and honest. Oh, Lord, save me from this situation. Help me. And vacuum me out of here and just put me somewhere else. Like, suck me, push me down. Now, and what he's saying is, that's an okay impulse, but do you realize that God purposely wants you in that situation? God controls everything. He had your car break down. He had your whatever happen. Why? Because he wants you to become more like him in that situation. Our first impulse should be, God, how can I become more like you in this situation? How would you want me to handle this? You've done this for a reason. My car broke down for a reason. It's not random. Nothing is ever random because God's in control of everything. And say, Lord, Why today? What's going on? Maybe I need to meet, maybe you want me to meet somebody. Maybe you want to share the gospel to that tow truck driver. Maybe you just want to work on my patience because I'm impatient this week. You know, and say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? Yeah, I can pray, Lord, please heal my car. You know, you can bless your car or whatever. But, you know, God wants to work through it. And you look at Paul, and he seems to have this attitude. I'm in prison. And he's like, praise the Lord. It's the most ironic thing. I'm in prison, but I get to proclaim the gospel. And one commentator said this. This may be when he's in Rome about ready to go before Caesar himself, because he appealed to Caesar in Jerusalem because he was getting in so much trouble by sharing the gospel. One commentator said, this may be when he's about ready to go to Caesar, the leader of the Roman Empire himself, to tell him about the gospel. Isn't that weird? So here's a guy in chains, and then he gets to actually share the gospel with the kingdom of Rome, right? And so God works in these ironic ways. What we think is bad, God's working for good. And so Paul's like, pray for me that to give me words that I may boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And here's the thing, guys. I think of Houston. I think of all this. Man, we have to, as we pray, be outward looking. Because sometimes we can pray and pray and pray all about ourselves, which is sometimes okay, that's fine. But are we praying, I need to reach my classmates in high school. I need to build bridges to the gospel with them. Paul was always thinking about that. I need to reach that my family member who's unsaved, my relative who's unsaved, my coworker. I feel like we're building a good friendship at work. God, how do I bring in the Jesus to this coworker? We need to have outward eyes, outward focused. My neighbors, you know, I got to say, Lord, help me be sort of an intrusive neighbor in a good way. That this person needs Jesus. They do not know him. They're headed for an eternity away from God. I need to share the gospel with them. And we need to pray Paul's words. That's going on the offensive. The sword of the Spirit, the gospel, the word of God. We go to enemy lines and say, you people on those enemy lines, you need Jesus. And that's our weapon. We need to share the gospel with you. And I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador of Christ. And I will share the gospel with my chemistry lab partner. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray for boldness. And all the time, Paul is praying for boldness and clarity and speaking the gospel. And we need to pray for that. Because people are headed to a Christless eternity of judgment. And we need to say there is salvation for your sins. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Acts 4:29. This is the early church right at the beginning. You know, they're getting persecuted for sharing their faith, but they pray this. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Whether you beat us up or not or throw us in prison or not, we don't care. We got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are suffering right now in the world all over for that. We got to share the gospel with people at school and at church. Around the world, we got to invite people to church. We got to pray for this. Pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. I want everybody to close their eyes, bow their heads. We look at this time of prayer. I'm going to first do this individually, and then here's what I'm going to do. If you can you? I'll give you the cue, but can you please break up into groups of about two, three, four people. Break into groups, and I'll give you the cue when to do that. And we're going to pray specifically for Houston. You could even pray for Asia, the monsoons. But I want you, as you just individually here in your seat, I want you to ask yourself this question, the same for me. Have you prayed for your fellow church members to be bold in sharing the gospel? Have you prayed for that? That we would all have boldness, myself too, even as your pastor, that we may be bold. Number two, I want you to ask yourself this before God as you pray to him. Where does my prayer life need to be improved? What areas of your life, your prayer life, need to be improved? How can you improve that? Last question. Am I being persistent, persevering in prayer? Am I not giving up and believing that God is the Almighty God, the I Am, the great I Am, who can bring people from life to death, to death to life, old life to death and back to new life, right? Are we praying that? So pray to God. Just take a minute here in silence and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, God, help us be people of prayer. That God, do we really believe that you're God Almighty? Help us be people who pray and don't give up and surround our day in prayer for the saints, for the world, Lord. Help us do that. Give us boldness to be open and speak the gospel, Lord. God, I pray if anyone here does not know Jesus as their Savior, God, that you help them realize that, God, you are holy, you're pure. We're not, we're sinners. And that's why Jesus came to live that perfect life and then die, but he died for us, died for our sins as the perfect substitute for our death that we deserve. And he died it for us. And he says, if anybody believes that I've died for your sins, I have forgiven your sins. My death has covered your sins. And he's been raised to new life, Lord, resurrected bodily to guarantee new eternal life, God, to all who believe. And God, you promise that you will enter our life now in the Holy Spirit. I pray that if anyone here does not know Christ, that God, you would draw them to yourself today, Heavenly Father. Lord, we love you. God, as we pray for Houston, God, we pray for what's happening in Asia. Lord, we pray that the church would come around and serve and help. Lord, we pray for those who are in a bad situation, God, those who have lost family members, God, that you would comfort them. God, that you would watch over that city and in Asia as well. I'd ask you now to get in groups of 2, 3, 4 even. I want you guys just to get together, pray out loud. Pray out loud. We'll just take a couple minutes. Pray out loud for Houston and pray out loud for Asia as well, the monsoon season. close this in prayer, and just real quick, and then Michael's going to lead us in response and song. So thank you for praying, guys. Let's just bow our heads real quick. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just ask your mercy and your care on the thousands and thousands of people who don't have a home. And God, we just pray that, God, you will use this to draw people to, God, what really matters. It's eternity with Christ, Lord. That this will wake people up to their need for salvation, God. And not to focus on material things and race or politics, but when this happens, God, there's only one Savior, Lord. So, Lord, help people see their need for you. At the same time, Lord, help the church love and comfort them. God, help people see the goodness of others, Lord. And, God, as we continue to worship, Lord, help us continue to have Houston, Nepal, India, Asia on our hearts, Lord. We love you.